Hour, we're going to be talking about scofflaw, and we're lucky enough to have Jim Lehman here as our speaker. He is the collection program manager for OCA, the Office of Court Administration, and he's responsible for implementing the state's court collection improvement program. And he provides resources and assistance to more than 2,600 courts statewide. So he's a busy man, and we're very lucky that he's been such a friend to TMCEC and has traveled all over the state to tell all municipal courts about all of the programs and resources available. Previously, he managed the Dallas County Criminal Courts Collection Department. He's got more than 20 years of private sector collections experience. He's been faculty for the National Center for State Courts, the National Association for Court Management, the Texas Center for the Judiciary, and with TMCEC. He is the recipient of the Justice Achievement Award from the National Center for State Courts. He's been published in various publications, including County Progress, Courts Today, The Recorder, and GCAT Newsletter. He went to school at University of Central Oklahoma in Edmond and is the former executive director of the Governmental Collectors Association of Texas. And he's a great speaker. Let's give a warm welcome to Jim Lehman.
Good afternoon. Well, thank you for sticking through the heat, and I hope to keep you awake and keep you going for the next, what we got, 90 minutes or so? Okay, I know, just an hour. I'm just kidding. Okay, thank you, Mark. I'm going to start out, first of all, because it is late in the day, and all of us are a little slow, by telling you a little story. My wife is a preschool director, and as a preschool director, she always has interesting stories, because if you're ever fortunate enough to be involved with preschoolers, you understand that they lead very interesting lives. So she's telling me, and actually it's a Christian preschool, and she has to have the kids go to chapel twice a week, and some of the younger preschool teachers sometimes have a little problem with the kids and behavior in going to chapel. And in one particular episode, the kids got pretty unruly, and their new preschool teacher scolded them pretty good and reminded them that going to chapel was just like going to church, and asked them, you guys know how to behave when you go to church, right? And of course the kids were doing like this. And why do you have to be quiet in church? Does anybody know that? And of course there's always one who does. And he raises his hand, and she says, okay, Lawrence, tell us why you have to be quiet when you're in church. And without missing a beat, Lawrence says, because people are trying to sleep. So we're going to try to keep you awake for the next 35 or 40 minutes or so, and we're going to talk about scofflaw. Before we talk about scofflaw, I'm going to just touch base on the agency that I work for. It's the Texas Office of Court Administration, and the agency was created back in 1977. When it was started, it was just about two things. One, they wanted to create a judicial directory, and they also wanted to start a sort of a repository for judicial information, activity and information. So there's about six or eight people when the agency initially was started, and their responsibilities were sort of limited. We report directly to the Texas Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, serve 2,600 plus courts, and this is how the, this is a more updated copy of the organizational chart now. There's more than 100 staffers and contractors who work in five different divisions, and more reflective of providing technical administrative support to all 2,600 plus courts. Those divisions are legal, research and court services, task force on injured defense, information services, and a variety of regulatory boards help to support the judiciary. Everything from child protective courts to guardian certification all falls under the support system that is the Office of Court Administration. I work for, and my colleague, who I'll introduce to you here in just a second, work for the research and court services part of the agency. And we work with the Collection Improvement Program. So the little six people who started out just to create a judicial directory and collect some judicial information. These are just a handful of the publications and forms that are available now online. Everything from the judicial directory that we spoke about to court financial handbooks for cities and filing fees and court updates, anything relating to the judiciary at all is going to be supported by the Office of Court Administration. So if you have any questions as you go about your business, the Municipal Courts Education Center is an excellent resource. But if you reach a point where you need some assistance in this area, please don't hesitate to get in contact with us. We like to say that even though we work for the state, we're employed for you. We're employed by you. Or we're employed by the state, but we work for you. Okay? All right. How many of you have at your disposal a collections person or a compliance person whose specific duty is to work with you and assist you with your collection of fines and fees? Let me see the hands. So we've got a couple of them. Actually, that's a trick question. You all do. The Office of Court Administration back in 2005, after the passage of Senate Bill 1863, created the Collection Improvement Program, which made the office responsible for providing mandatory collections programs with assistance. And what we did was separate the state into five different regions, and we staffed the state with regional collection specialists whose responsibility is to you to assist you with collecting your court fines and fees. And I just happen to have one of those individuals present with me this morning or this afternoon. This is Daphne Weber. So if you're in the central region, and their information should be in your handout, if you're in the central region and you need assistance with things relating to collections, compliance, including the scoff law, which I promise you we'll start covering here in just a second, please let us know, get in contact with your regional person or get in contact with me, and we'll be happy to help you with that. Okay, definitions. What is the scoff law? We're going to look, as we go through this, since you know we're a small group, please ask questions as we go through this. What you're going to find out about scoff law is from its creation to where we are right now has been a little cumbersome, has been a little bumpy, kind of putting all the pieces together. But as we go through this, I think you'll be able to see that it can be a very useful tool. So the definitions, we'll start with the dictionary: one who habitually violates the law, fails to answer the court summonses. The Texas Transportation Code describes it as vehicle owner deemed delinquent and paying fines and fees or taxes to a city or county. For our purposes today, we're going to use this definition: vehicle registration denial for non-payment of fines or fees or taxes. The key statutes, those statutes are the Transportation Code. There are three of them. County statute, and we're going to talk about both because I know that a lot of you also represent your justice courts in your counties. County statute is 502.185, the city statute 702.003, and then the red light camera violations code is 707.017. And again, vehicle owners deemed delinquent and paying fine, fee, or tax to a city or county. It's a scoff law definition. Keys to the county. The tax assessor collector may refuse to register a motor vehicle if the defendant owes court costs, fees, and fines or taxes, and they're delinquent at least 90 days. And this applies to court costs, fees, fines at all court levels. So justice, felony, and county. There has to be a contract, and that contract is signed with, and we'll talk more about this in just a second, with the Department of Motor Vehicles, and it needs to be approved by your commissioner's court. The fee, $500 deposit with the DMV, sort of like if you pay your toll tag. It's an escrow, non-interest-bearing escrow account that you put the $500. When it gets down to a certain point, then you have to fee back into it. $23 per submission or 12 cents per transaction, and we'll get more into that in just a second. And or you can pay as you go. You can simply write a check in every time you submit the vehicles that you want to flag. the city, same thing. Motor vehicles are denied through the tax office, or you can go directly to DMV. Misdemeanor fine maximum is $200. Home rule cities only has been, that's what the current law is, but however, I believe SB 86 has passed, and it's sitting on the governor's desk, and it will go into effect. So all of you, no matter, you'll be able to do this. Okay. Cities, outstanding warrants, including your failures to appear, and you have to provide notice to the registered owner of the vehicle. That can be in the form of, it can be on the citation that's issued. It can be in the form of a mail out. And there actually is no specific language. I think we may have given you some examples, but the notification is part of the statute. You also have to have a contract with the DMV. Formerly, you had to go through the county in order to flag the vehicles. You do not have to do that anymore. That policy has changed, so any city can go directly to DMV and contract with DMV to have the registration stopped, put on vehicles. Resolution by the city council is required, and the same amounts are applicable, $500 deposit, pay as you go, and that's $23 per computer run and 12 cents per transmission, and we'll get into that right now. Your media formats, the submission they're talking about is if you have, for instance, a CD that you put all of your submissions on, then that CD is considered one submission. That costs $23. Now, you can have 1,000 or 5,000 transactions or placements on that CD, flags that you're putting on there, but it's still $23. You pay 12 cents for every transaction. And those transactions are probe, flag, and clear. The probe is a data scrub, because you're not going to be able to flag a vehicle on a defendant unless that defendant owes fines and fees. It has to be the registered owner of the vehicle in order for you to place the flag on the vehicle that you're actually pursuing. So if Junior got the ticket, he was driving Dad's car, you can't flag the car because Junior doesn't own the car. Only if Dad's driving it can you do it. So that's what the probe is about, to get the information straightened out. The flag obviously restricts registration, and then the clear removes that restriction. So there are three types of transactions involved. Usually for the counties, there is part of the probe information that you're looking for comes from the fact that we only have partial information. Generally, at the county level and the city level, most of the time we both have the plates, but there are different pieces that are missing in the county. The VIN number may not be there, and the title document number may not be there. In the city, the license registration year is possible that it's not there, and the title document number. So the probe, again, is what they do to scrub the data to match the person and the vehicle up together. Cost in return. This is pretty graphic. This is kind of shows you how a typical run would work. So if you started with a CD with 100 license plates at 12 cents each, your cost for that submission and those transactions would be $35. And that's about 35 cents per license plate. Now, usually what jurisdictions do is they do multiple transactions in one submission. So they have so many vehicles that they actually want to probe so they can get data clearance, so that they can go ahead and execute a restriction on. They have so many license plates that they have already done that process and they actually want to flag the vehicle. And then they have so many that have come in and paid and they have resolution and they want to remove that. So they will do three. So if you multiply that by three, so you have 300 transactions, that's $1.05 per license plate. And of course, the analysis here is that if you clear just one, you've more than paid for your expenses for the cost on this, 23,000% investment. And we'll see more about that here in just a second. More and more cities and counties are using SCOF. When we first started talking about SCOF a couple of years ago, this was a very small list. It continues to grow. pretty much monthly. So we have 38 cities and 13 counties that are now participating. But we continue to get asked the same question. Why is there not more participation in the Scofflaw program? One of the things, you're right on, spot on, one of the things is the home rule. It's been restrictive up until now. Lack of education about the process. I talk to every day I talk to people both in the cities and the counties who've never heard of Scofflaw. They don't know what it is. So we're trying to change that by educating people that this is a process that does exist and you can use it as a tool. The flag is only a stop. And what that means is it says the tax assessor collector may deny vehicle registration, which makes it passive or permissive. So there could be an instance where the tax assessor collector actually goes on, even with the flag on there, and registers the vehicle. In some instances, that may not be a bad situation. When a person's vehicle is denied, a registration of the vehicle is denied, for instance, and that person goes and clears that up and returns with information showing that they've taken care of their obligation, the tax assessor collector can actually go ahead and release the registration, give the person their tags, let them go, even though the flag itself hasn't been yet entered into the computer because it hadn't gone through that system. So in some instances, that's not all bad, that's a soft stop. Only one flag per license plate at a time, only one county flag, one city flag, and that's just a space issue that DMV is trying to work on so that there can be more listings. But right now, if you send a vehicle in for registration denial and somebody's already on there as a city, then they will send yours back and say, that space is not yet available. Try again. Lack of publication and dissemination. We've kind of already talked about that. People just don't know about this. TxDOT for a long time had this process. It's now with DMV. And TxDOT did not do a lot of marketing as far as Scofflaw was concerned. If you came to them, they would share information with you about how to get it set up, but they didn't actively go out and ask people to come in and participate in Scofflaw. Lack of support from some tax offices, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. Soft stop, again, I just explained to you why that's not all bad, but here are some holes in the process that need to be identified. There are minimal holes, and they don't have to happen often, but they are there, and you need to be aware of them. The tax office can decide arbitrarily to go ahead and renew. They may not want to participate in SCOFF, and so they just may decide that even if you have the flag on there, they're going to go ahead and renew. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, his comment was and I actually have some El Paso County statistics that I'll share with you here in just a second, that they're approaching, you said, 2 million. I think, well, we'll see the statistics here in just a second. And you're right, the key piece of their success has been Victor Flores. He's been just an outstanding commitment to Scofflaw, and they have probably the oldest and most successful program. So if you want to see how it works and how well it works, that's the place to go and take a look at it. Thank you. Some contractors are not supposed to process. You know, in some instances, we have subcontractors like the HEB or Piggly Wiggly or Randall's. You may be able to go in there and get your tag. They are not supposed to release tags that have the vehicle restriction on it. However, you may have high school kids or people who are not fully trained on what to do, and so they could, accidentally or without really knowing the process, release and go ahead and give the tag to the individual. Now, we don't believe this is massively going on, but it's a possibility. It could happen as a subcontractor. And the tax assessor collector is responsible for their subcontractors and the activities of the subcontractors. So I think a lot of them have worked real hard to make sure that doesn't happen, but we're saying it could. does not affect transfer of title or sale. So if you go through the process, you have the vehicle registration flagged, and that vehicle is subsequently sold, the flag does not transfer to the new owner. It doesn't stay with the vehicle. Once the ownership is changed, the flag drops off. Flag is not applicable to new purchase temporary tags. Those dealer tags, if a ticket is written on an individual that's in the dealer tag, and actually I've heard that DMV is working on modifying that. Right now they don't have a way of using, of converting that dealer tag into an actual tag so that it can be restricted. So those are some of the problems with soft stop. Again, only one city flag or license plate at a time. And I'll show you how that looks here in just a second. They are also working on trying to correct. That's just a formatting problem in the system that they're using right now. Tax office resistance. Security. One of the reasons the tax assessor collector may say they have an issue with scofflaw is their concern for potential security, which I'm sure is a valid concern, but it hasn't been an issue so far. And the tax office pretty much denies vehicle registrations every day, just not for court costs, fees, and fines. But part of their process is to make sure that all of the documentation is properly there for you to register your vehicle. And if you don't have that, then you're going to get not denied, not for court costs, fees, and fines, but for something else. So as far as I know, they're doing that now, and the security issue, if you have a security issue, should be addressed. It should be there regardless of what you're denying it for. So we haven't seen that, and I'm sure they haven't seen that in El Paso County as a big issue. Loss of tax revenue, again, and I'll point, again, I'll use the experience that we've had in discussions with El Paso County. In fact, the opposite has been true as far as what they've been able to show us. It not only has it not affected it, but once the fines and fees or the outstanding delinquent amounts have been paid, the whole purpose of trying to pay that off is so that the vehicle can be registered. One of the big upsides for denying vehicle registration is, unlike denial of driver's license, vehicle registration is annually and is clearly visible. And as you know, field patrol can see an unregistered or late registered vehicle from a long way off in gloomy rain or whatever, in whatever situation, and you have to deal with that. And people who don't get their cars registered have to deal with that. Increased workload goes something like this. I'm sorry, Mr. Lehman, we can't register your vehicle. You have a hold on your vehicle registration. You must go and have that cleared. Here's the information where you need to go and get that taken care of. You bring back the proper documentation and we can register your vehicle. How long did that take? That's all the work there as far as the tax office is concerned. Of course, they have to go and actually see, but they'd have to see that it's flagged anyway in order to register it. So we're not really sure how much of a work increase that is, but we know that we have a lot of cooperation from a lot of tax assessor collectors, and the work issue is not one that's been overwhelming. Lack of details on records. Yes, ma'am. Good question. Her question is, how long does it actually take to pull the flag off once it's put on? That actually depends on when you submit it. The turnaround time for actually removing it for DMV depends on when you do your submissions. And whenever you do your submissions, there is a time lapse. So if we have systems that you can do it the next day if you... No, but they're only interested in getting their vehicle registered. So that's where the soft stop is a plus, because they'll bring their documentation back and say, here, I want my tag, and you can give them the tag and then put them in your system to remove the flag. They have a year, before that flag would still be on there, but they have the registration, so they're fine. Everybody up to snuff with us on that discussion? Okay. All right. Lack of detailed records, you know, that may have been true back in, say, the old DOS-based days or, you know, before, you know, we got as technical and as automated as we are right now. But we all know that your information is only as good as the people who are entering that information. And because of the super automated age that we're in now, to where, you know, a lot of times officers don't even have to write tickets anymore. They just scan licenses, and all the information is loaded up. This is just not as big a problem as it was, say, 10 years ago. Indigent financial hardship. We've had some tax assessor collectors say that they don't want to be responsible for having a vehicle restricted on a family that needs that vehicle to go back and forth to work and provide for their family. Again, we haven't seen that big of an issue made of this, but it is one of the concerns that they said they had. We've got more participation. This is Denton County, and if you look right in here, one of the things that they've done is they started putting on their website that beginning January 2011, the tax office will cooperate with municipal courts of Denton County to enforce scoff law restrictions as part of their process in beginning scoff law. So I wanted to share that with you just to show that we are getting more participation. There's more participation from more counties, and a lot of counties are taking the lead in assisting the cities, and Denton County's program is one of those. Okay. If you were to sit behind the computer for the DMV, this is what you would see, something that looks sort of like this. The scoff law flag is here. In this case, it has both a county scoff law and a city scoff law. So if you went up to the DMV to get your registration or to the tax assessor's office to get your vehicle registered and they pulled you up, it would kind of look like this, and that's what they would see. So it's readily available. They can identify it, and they're actually trained to look for it. Yes, sir.
You said you can only have one county and one city.
Right. Not yet. That's a good question. He said, is there a queue or a follow-up system, more or less a waiting list of cities who want to be inserted once one city clears? We've talked to DMV about that, and we're optimistic that at some point in the future they will actually do that. It does not exist right now, and that's one of the issues we discussed with them. So that's a great point. If you get it in the mail, it looks like this, and you can see it a little scrubby looking, but it says county scoff law. So if they take it to HEB or Randall's, it should clearly be identified that they cannot register it. It should be. I'm sorry. Yes, and that says Hardin County. Yeah, this one here, you can barely see it, but it says Hardin County. And it'll do the same thing for the city. If it's El Paso or whatever it is, it'll clearly identify it. And if it has multiple, both city and county, it'll show it also. And if they turn it over, it'll tell them exactly what it's for. It'll give a description and a definition of what scoff law means and tells them that they're going to have to go back to the city or county where they owe money and get this cleared before they can register their vehicle. If you get pulled over, and this is extremely important for cities, from the patrol car, if they run your tag on a 1028, they will actually be able to see that there's a scoff law flag on your tag. Now, this is significant because if you recall, for the cities, the only way you're going to have a city scoff law tag is if there's an outstanding warrant. So the patrol unit would automatically know there's an outstanding warrant if they pulled a vehicle over and they ran the tag and the scoff law flag popped up. Okay, real quickly, I think you have this sort of flow chart, three-stage flow chart in your program information. We're going to go through these real quickly, technical, pre-implementation, and implementation. Technical, starting with the IT people. They need to acquire the data, records for qualifying defendants. Who is it that you want to flag? That's the first thing that IT needs to do, is begin looking at how you're going to accumulate the data for the people that you actually want to flag or the vehicles you actually want to flag. Then they will work with DMV to come up with a scrubbing format. And I'm being as untechnical as possible because I don't want to talk about HTMLs and all the other deals that they have to do in order to get this done. But it's possible to get it done, and it's not that complicated if you're a tech person. Then the format for submitting the files, both probe, actually putting the flag on, and clearing the flag, would be handled by your IT department and the IT department for the DMV. Pre-implementation process development, meeting with stakeholders to establish the leadership and the direction. If you're going to do this, somebody has to take the lead on it. If you're uncertain about who that should be or how that should look, then I'm going to suggest that you get with your regional collection specialist about SCOF and help get them to help you set up a process for developing how you want to put your SCOF law program together. Then leadership needs to come up with an implementation plan, a way of moving forward with your process, whatever that process is going to be. And one of the things that we suggested that the planners actually review, either go to or get information from places like El Paso that already has a plan, or Denton County or the city of Denton that participates in the SCOF law process. We also suggest that you examine cultivating a good relationship with your primary tax assessor collector. Ultimately, this is a soft stop, so it would be a good idea if the city did talk to and visit with your primary tax assessor collector and let them know what you're planning on doing and solicit their cooperation in what you're doing. We also encourage you, since one of the big benefits as a city that you have is your flag goes to the entire state. So we're talking 254 tax assessor collectors. Why not send a letter to all of them saying that your city is going to participate in SCOF law and you would really appreciate their cooperation and solicit their assistance in your effort, and that you would reciprocate in any way possible to assist them with their efforts. And then implementation plans should include a procedure to manage denial, and we'll talk about that. It looks something like this. The defendant comes in and they want to get their vehicle registered, and they're advised that they cannot do that because there's a flag. They're given a notice or some kind of information that directs them where they need to go to get this cleared up. They go to the appropriate office and they obtain something that demonstrates they've satisfied their obligation. They return to the tax office where the vehicle registration is issued to them. The flag is not necessarily lifted immediately like we discussed earlier, but it will be at some point. But the defendant's happy. Defendant's happy because they've gotten their registration and they can move forward. Her question is, does it actually say how much they owe? No, usually not. It's just going to say what the jurisdiction is. And one of the things that you do in your planning and implementation is to figure out how you're going to get that information conveyed back to you. So we have lots of different programs that do different things. We have some who actually have cards from the city that the tax office has. So if it's the city of Denton, they will give you a card with a number to call that has the contact person at the city of Denton who can look you up and say, okay, yeah, you owe this amount. And actually, the city of Denton also has a kiosk that's right there in the tax office. They can actually go over with the card, punch in a number, and it tells them how much they owe, and they can actually pay and get receipted right there and walk back over to the tax office. So all of that is what you would do in your planning. And again, I would encourage you to contact your regional collection specialist to help you kind of get set up if you're thinking about doing this, and help you guide through and work with your tax office to get this done. This is an example denial notice, and as you can see, it's just one of the tools that you would use to inform an individual that they owe fines and fees somewhere. We don't have the contact information on there, but that's the only thing that's missing on this denial. Then this would be the payment receipt or an example of a release document. In the El Paso County, that document has to have a embossed seal that office where they have paid actually puts that seal on so that they know it's an authentic seal and it hasn't been copied. That's just another copy of that release document. And the seal goes there. Develop a procedure for managing the denial process. You have to have city council resolution, and a copy of a sample resolution is included in your documents. The DMV TxDOT contract, you should also have a copy of that. There's a new fill-in-the-blank contract that is also available to you. And if you will email me or email one of your regional collection specialists whose email addresses you should have in your handout, we'll be happy to send that to you. And the contract itself is pretty detailed. It'll tell you a lot of information about the program itself. Media campaign, to me, I think this is an extremely important piece. A lot of times we get really caught up in the end process, actually putting the flag and that being the catalyst for getting paid. That is not the only catalyst for getting paid or getting compliance. You know, one of the worst days in my life was when my mother said, wait till your father gets home. You use the threat. You use the threat. And you can generate lots of interest and lots of compliance just by using the threat. And one of the things that I'm completely amazed at is, and plays into the same process, is the warrant roundup. How many of you participate in warrant roundup? Well, surrounding cities and counties that aren't participating in the warrant roundup also get residuals from the warrant roundup. It's the threat. And more money is collected before warrant roundup day than on warrant roundup day. So it's the threat that's actually generating the activity, not picking up people and putting them in jail. It's the threat of doing that. And one of the best places I've seen this worked is in the city of Austin itself. They have a process that sets up the media, and that media campaign is really amazing. Let me see if I can, I may have a clip that I can show you. Just to give you an idea of what I mean by running a great media campaign. Now, as you see this, it's warrant roundup, but think scoff law. Now, this is the day before roundup day.
This is News 8 Austin.
AF or risk arrest this weekend. All new at 6 o'clock tonight. KV's Amanda Lawson has more on the planned police roundup.
More than 185,000 warrants in the Austin area have not been taken care of.
Typically traffic violations. Some of them could be misdemeanor violations, violations that may have occurred, let's say, for example, on 6th Street.
Municipal Court, this is Kim. May I help you?
2 weeks ago, law enforcement agencies all around Central Texas sent out notices. Since then, 7,200 warrants have been cleared.
Okay, I'll show you. Have three warrants. The first one is for running a red light back in December the 21st of 01.
But thousands of warrants remain outstanding. And tomorrow, law enforcement will start rounding up those offenders.
They can expect a knock at their door at home. They can expect a visit at work. And they can expect to be handcuffed, arrested, and brought down to municipal court and possibly to jail.
But it's not too late to pay these warrants. They can be paid in a number of different places in a number of different ways. In Austin and most surrounding areas, warrants can be taken care of at municipal court locations. These locations will be open on Saturday from 7 in the morning until 6 at night. Warrants can be paid for in person through Western Union or by credit card. Those phone numbers are listed on your screen.
If you come in and take care of this, then no, you will not have a warrant.
City Marshal Mike Urbeck says most people are not surprised to find out they owe the city. In fact, he says a number of notices go out right away, but all too many go ignored.
We are giving everyone the opportunity to come here at their own time and convenience rather than us going out and trying to locate them and bring them down in handcuffs and you know, literally be arrested.
Amanda Lawson, KVU News.
And court officials tell us their court records go back from as far as 10 years ago. So if you got a citation 10 years ago or if you got one as early as last month, chances are if you haven't been in touch with a clerk's office, you could get a knock on your door this morning. Now, I could tell you officers have been out since before the sun came up at 5:30 this morning, going out throughout Central Texas and arresting anyone with an outstanding warrant. Law enforcement agencies from 21 different jurisdictions are pulling together for this roundup. Officers from Austin to Georgetown to San Antonio. Right now, there are about 100.
So you get the idea. Just substitute the scoff law process for the warrant process, and I promise you it'll have the same effect. Here's another sort of different approach with the warrant roundup that I also liked. Very short, but it gets the point across.
Hello, this is Joe Knight, warrant officer for Hunt County, and here's your fair warning.
Law enforcement agencies are joining forces for a countywide warrant roundup beginning Thursday, July 15th. You may pay your outstanding fines by cashier's check, money order, cash, or credit card at the following locations and avoid a public arrest. Need more information? Log on to warrantassist.com.
Warrantassist.com. There is a better way.
Great little snippet. Only lasts a few minutes. And if you, again, substitute scoff law or the idea that you won't be able to register your vehicle in there, I think you understand what I'm saying. More participation. This is City of Harlingen in cooperation with Cameron County and Hidalgo County media doing the press release talking about scoff law, generating a lot of buzz in the media. Works very well. City of Garland, you noticed in the snippet there, the officer referred them to a website, where to go, what they can do to take care of this exponentially or early. And City of Garland has a great website that sort of feeds into the same process. Okay, so real quickly, example startup plan. City manager, county attorney, they negotiate your interlocal agreement and they sign the contract. They also should be facilitating negotiations with any situation that has to deal with the legal side of your scoff law program. Court staff should be looking at the documentation flow and how the process is actually going to work. If the courts are going to be involved in this process, there needs to be a way, for instance, a centralized place or person to coordinate the activity for people who are wanting to clear and come in and take care of their payments. Law enforcement should be educated on what to look for. If they pull someone over and they pull a license plate report, and it comes up with scoff law on it. Finance, work out the billing process, either an escrow account or a pay-as-you-go account to get you set up to get the finance part of it intact. Again, your IT and your software vendors will work together to make sure that the data process is what you want it to be. These are the people that you want flagged. They have the scrubbing process. They have the flag and release process in place as well. So you start out with the proper documentation that you get over to DMV. They create then the stop. The defendant comes in and they want to register their vehicle and they're told that they can't, but there's a way to get around that. They simply have to pay their court costs, fees, and fines to you. Once that's done, you will go through the process of getting the proper documentation back to the state and sending them on their way with their plate. Okay. Added bonuses, vehicle registered in every county, flag seen across the entire state. We talked about being pulled over and having your license plate run. It's on there. And a lot of people are renewing online nowadays, and they can't do that if their vehicle has been flagged, if the registration has been flagged. Here's the El Paso County, the latest statistics we have from June of 04 to April 11. Collections, 4.5 million. Warrants cleared, 21,000. Very effective for El Paso County. Yeah, scoff law. Results for Ector County. You actually happen to be in Ector County today. And they started their program in March of 08. There's a portion on here that's not showing. Ah, there we go. A couple of pieces that weren't showing. The top part is how much they've spent on scoff law. So $3,000 is what they've spent, and the bottom part is what they've collected. So for the effort in Ector County, and it's a relatively new program for them, very much worth it. Louisville, they had a pilot that they started, and it's been operating for less than a year. They've cleared, they flagged 1,000 vehicles, test vehicles. They've cleared 376 warrants, and they've collected $43,000 so far in their pilot. Here's your contact for directly to the DMV, but I would encourage you to contact your justice team representative or your regional collection specialist. If you're interested in scoff law, we'd be more than happy to help you with it and help you get your process started. Any questions? You've been great. Thank you very much.